this time of year, it's not unusual for bees to ruin your picnic. Except the bugs landing on your potato salad likely aren't bees at all. Many people have trouble telling the difference between bees and other stinging flying insects. Megan Milbrath coordinates the Michigan Pollinator Initiative at Michigan State University. She spoke with WMUK's Rebecca Thiel over the phone about how to tell if a bee is really a bee.
Give us a rundown. What is the difference between bees, wasps, and hornets?
So they are all somewhat related, but they diverged quite a bit a while ago. The major difference visually between bees, wasps, and hornets. So bees are really easy to set apart because they're generally fuzzy and they're generally much wider. And so hornets are going to be the ones that are going to be shiny and yellow and black. And many wasps will also be shiny, but they'll be the ones that more characteristically will have the narrow waists on them. And both hornets and wasps eat many types of things, including animal proteins. And so they're going to be the ones that you're going to see flying around your food. They're going to be the ones that are more aggressive, and they will be eating other insects. Bees do not eat other insects and are not going to aggressively seek out your food. The only food source for bees is flowers. And so they get 100% of their diet from flowers. They get their protein comes from pollen, as well as vitamins and fats and other minerals. And then their source for carbohydrates comes from nectar.
So where do these different species tend to live? You know, I know that there are some buzzing insects that we find in the ground. There are some that create nests in trees.
Yes. And so honeybees are going to live in generally in managed colonies, so in the hives. If they're out in nature, they are cavity dwellers. And so they will form these big, huge colonies historically in trees, but sometimes they get into sides of houses or things like that. We have a lot of, the honeybees are from Europe, the ones that we keep. We have a lot of native bees as well, and our native bees are largely solitary. There are some that produce smaller colonies, or they're sometimes social. So, for example, bumblebees, they'll live in old mouse nests, and during the winter, only a queen lives during the winter, and then she'll start a small colony, and that colony will produce a few queens at the end of the year, and those queens will go through the winter, but all the workers will die off. So the colony itself doesn't overwinter every year. And that's really similar to how, like, bald-faced hornets, for example, work, or those yellow jackets that bother people. They have a very similar life cycle where a queen will overwinter, the colony will build up over summer, and then that colony actually dies off, which is why you have the big populations, or people start to notice them at the end of the summer. And the wasp will produce different types of nests, or the hornets. So they'll be those big paper-like hanging structures, or some of them will build in the eaves or things like that of houses. Most of our native bees are solitary, and they will be in a hole in the ground. But this is not like ground nesting wasps. There'll be one or maybe a couple bees that will share a same area. A lot of the other ones will live in hollowed out tubes of like plant material. There's some that make nests using mud or cut up leaves. And so they use a variety of different things. The one that builds the big paper nest, though, are generally hornets and wasps.
So basically, we probably wouldn't see many large bee nests.
Correct. It's very rare. So bees, the only ones that build really, really big nests are honeybees. And they're pretty hard to spot because they go to a place that's going to be very sheltered. And so unless you see a honeybee colony, and you would know, so for example, there are cases where they could end up in someone's house if a wild colony were to swarm, which is the way that they reproduce, and they could find a home in the side of someone's house. But you would know that it was honey. I mean, there would definitely be a large amount of honey involved, and which is one of the ways that we can tell. But by looking up close, you can see if it's a honeybee. And what we usually ask, if people see a nest that they're concerned about and they don't know if it is a honeybee or if it's a wasp or if they can get rid of it or if they should call a beekeeper, usually we just ask that they take a picture. And anybody at Extension or a beekeeper can let you know if it's just a yellow jacket nest and it's going to die when it freezes, or you can remove it if it's in a place where it's bothering you, or if it is actually a honeybee nest, in which case it's probably going to be there for a long time unless you deal with it.
The yellow jacket, I know, gets very aggressive around this time, and that's kind of the one that you see, as you said, buzzing around your food. Talk a little bit about the yellow jacket wasp and why it's so aggressive this time of year.
So the yellow jackets, there's a couple types that people will call yellow jackets, but basically they're predatory wasps. They are ones that are social, and which means that they do build up this colony. They're definitely not bees. And so what they do is there's some too that, so, you know, with common names, some people will call paper wasps yellow jackets, but generally it refers to a single genera, and they will overwinter with a single queen, and she'll start the colony herself, and she'll just be able, since it's just her gathering food, she'll just be able to raise a couple workers at a time. And then once you get more workers, you can raise even more workers. And once you get more workers, you can raise even more workers. And so the colonies actually grow, not entirely exponentially, but they can grow quite quickly at this time of year. So they become quite large at this time of year. And then the same thing that's happening at this time of year is that, you know, food resources go down as we start, you know, getting towards the end of the year. And these, because they're predatory and because they go for other insects, they do have more aggressive behavior. And so there's two things. One is they build up this time of year, so we just have larger populations than you would at any other season. But then also they are going to be out looking for things. They're very different from bees in that reason is that they are going out and they would be much more aggressive. They also can sting multiple times. So, you know, the joke is that they're the ones that really give bees a bad name because they have completely different behaviors than both our honeybees and native bees that we have.
So why is it so important to know what's a bee and what's a wasp?
Well, it depends on, for both safety and for you and for the insect. So some of them are going to be more aggressive. And if you're allergic, you may not be allergic to the same ones. So if you're allergic to wasps, you're not necessarily allergic to bees. And so it would be, you know, you want to know what's flying around, if it's something that's more likely to cause injury or, you know, in 9 times out of 10, when people are really afraid of them, it's a bee that's out foraging that has no interest in you or your food or anything. It just wants to collect some food and go home. And so I think part of it is it can just bring you confidence of knowing that this is something that is totally fine and is just doing its job. The other thing is how you would remove it if it's something that is a problem for you. You know, so all animals, including insects, have their place in nature, but there are times when they interact with humans in ways that, you know, don't work well with either species. And so if you've got yellow jackets, you know, one of the things, if you can identify them, then you can know that, okay, this is in a place that's pretty far away from my house. It's not causing immediate danger. They're annoying right now, but they're going to die off over winter. So it's not a huge deal that I get rid of this. And, you know, it doesn't mean that my house is going to be forever infested with them if I can't find it and I don't get rid of it. Whereas if you have honeybees living in your wall, if you just were to spray them, for example, but there's a nest in there, you're going to have honey and wax and larvae, and that's going to attract mice and beetles and moths and everything, and you have to get it out of your walls. And so, and you can actually call a beekeeper who can remove the bees for you in a way that can usually can keep them alive. So it helps both in just, you know, kind of saying, do I need to freak out? Which usually that answer is no. And also, how would I deal with it if they've set up shop at a problem place?
And then, of course, we do want to keep bees alive because they pollinate our crops and plants.
Exactly. And so, I mean, everything has its role. The wasps and the hornets don't do very much in the act of pollination. You'll see a lot, some of them on pollinator or on plants collecting pollen. But the bees definitely, I mean, we absolutely need them in order to pollinate both the crops for the food that we eat, but also our native plants, you know, for our ecosystems. A lot of those plants produce flowers that require bees and other insects to pollinate them.
That's about all that I had. Was there anything that you thought that we should know or wanted to add?
I think the big thing is that almost all of the time they want nothing to do with you. And so if you could just leave them alone and they're not actually bothering you, they're absolutely fine. And especially if it's a bee, they just will want to just go on and do their thing.
Okay. Megan Milbrath of Michigan State University, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Megan Milbrath coordinates the Michigan Pollinator Initiative at MSU. If you need help identifying bees and wasps, or if you have a swarm of bees near your home, visit the Michigan Bee Association at michiganbees.org. We'll have a link to that on our website. This is West Southwest. I'm Savilla Mann.